I can take it to the place where I found forgiveness, hope, and redeeming grace.
And he filled me with joy.
Now he shares every burden I bear. He took away my guilt and my deep despair. He erased sin stains when he broke my chains. Praise God, I can take it to the place. He erased sin stains when he broke my chains. Praise God, I can take it to the place. Seen the light of day? Have you heard the one about the leper dying till Jesus passed his way? Have you heard about the lame man didn't have a prayer till the day the Savior came? Or the one about the man who was living in torment, homeless in his chains?
That story is mine.
I was blind till Jesus opened my eyes and I could see.
I was
bound by the chains till the grace of the wonderful Savior set me free.
Every
page of the book is a place I can look and I see myself every time. Every life that is saved is another where I say hallelujah, that story is mine. I was out on the sea in the wind and the waves, I was sure that I would die. I was dead in the grave till I heard my name and he brought me back to life. I was trapped in my sin till he walked in and offered me his grace. I was headed for a cross until in love he came and took my place.
That story is mine.
I was blind till Jesus opened my eyes and I could see.
I was
bound by the chains of the grace of the wonderful Savior set me free.
Every
page of the book is a place I can look and I see myself every time. Every life that is saved is another where I say hallelujah, that story is mine.
So that Bartimaeus talked about the day he got his sight,
and that Lazarus tell how he came forth and stepped into the light.
Let Peter testify how Jesus calmed the raging sea.
When I hear their testimonies, it sounds a lot like me. That story is mine.
I was blind till Jesus opened my eyes and I could see.
I was
bound by the chains of the grace of the wonderful Savior set me free.
Every
page of the book is a place I can look and I see myself every time. Every life that is saved is another where I say hallelujah, hallelujah.
That story is mine.
I was blind till Jesus opened my eyes and I could see.
I was
bound by the chains till the grace of the wonderful Savior set me free.
Every
page of the book is a place I can look and I see myself every time. Every life that is saved is another where I say hallelujah. That story is mine.
I may not know what you're going through, and I don't know your pain, and I don't know all the valleys you're walking, or the mountain you're facing again. I'm not sure what you're feeling, or how rough this road is you trod. I don't know your situation, but friend, I know your God.
If you've been saved by the King of all glory, you have access to the throne. If you've been adopted by the Prince of Peace, then you are safe from all harm.
If you have been
born again and you're covered by the blood, I don't need to know your problem, because friend, I know your God.
circumstances seem against you, and nothing is going your way. Doubt and fear fill your weary soul, and the storm clouds darken your day. I may not know what you're facing, or the burden of the weight of your load. I don't know the size of your problem, but I know the size of your God.
If you've been saved by the King of all glory, you have access to the throne. If you've been adopted by the Prince of Peace, then you are safe from all harm.
If you have been
born again and you're covered by the blood, I don't need to know your problem, because friend, I know your God. If you've been saved by the King of all glory, you have access to the throne. If you've been adopted by the Prince of Peace, then you are safe from all harm.
If you have been
born again and you're covered by the blood, I don't need to know your problem, because friend, I know your God. I don't need to know your problem, because friend, I know your God.
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 That's both one.
Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we ask that you be with the ones that are sick and not among us today. Lord, heal their bodies and bring them back. We thank you for what you're going to do. Be with the services this morning and this evening, Lord. We can't wait to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 378. 378. It is well with my soul, 378.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Oh Lord, haste the day when thy face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to page 75. 75. Rejoice in the Lord. Just 75.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servants and molding of man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I cannot see through the shadows ahead, So I look to the cross of my Savior. Instead, I bow to the will of the Master that day. And peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Amen. Thank you for your singing.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Welcome to church. Today, March 29th, church appreciation, a fellowship after the evening service, a DVD presentation of the remodeling phase one during the PM service, and plan for phase two. Wednesday, April 1st, Lord's Supper at for the BBC church family at 7 p.m. Saturday, April 4th, churchwide operation saturation, soul winning, and there'd be a flyer blitz at 10 a.m. Sunday, April 5th, Easter Resurrection Sunday, breakfast and photos. It'll start at 7:30 and go to 9:30. And then Sunday, May 10th, Lone Star Baptist Bible College singing group will be with us for that evening service. So that's all the stuff coming up that we know of this month. Keep in mind the people on the back. Thank you.
All right, this morning we're here at Book of Luke in chapter 4. We're going to be looking at what the Word of God's got for us this morning. I'm thankful for all the things that God has done for us. Got up here and Adam was singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And it's one of my favorite songs. It really is. It's one of my favorite songs. And I happen to remember, that's the tie I put on today. Yeah, so anyway, I thought, that sounds familiar. I just seen that. It's on my tie. Anyway, so every once in a while I have to have a reminder or something. Anyway, today we are in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Acts, yes. That's been several months back. But anyway, we're in the fourth chapter of Luke. Luke's gospel, and I get my notes turned over here. I do have notes in here. I really did. That's not the one. That is where. Yep. Nope. Did I put that underneath the other one? Maybe I did before. Well, that's not a good deal. I know I wrote it in here this morning because there was... There it is. It was where I put it on the right day, 29th. Even got the flag there. It just wasn't reading, I guess. Anyway, so here we are in the book of Luke and chapter 4. Before we go on any further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we do serve a great God that loves us and cares for us. Father, we're needy people and we need you, Lord. You know I need you today, and Father, I just ask that you would be with the things that we say from your word, Lord, that it'll be an encouragement, that it'll give us guidance and direction in our lives that we might be able to honor and glorify you. We're thankful for your word that tells us, even in the Gospel of John, Lord, it tells us to continue in your word. And Father, we just pray that you'd help us to be guided by it today. Father, I ask that you just be with each person that's here today. Lord, I ask that you'd open their hearts and be able to hear the word of God. But most of all, Lord, that they would believe the things that you've got. Father, we just give you the honor and glory and the praise now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so last week we looked at the Lord was in Nazareth, and he opened up with the scriptures there, and it was very important reading that he read, because he's opening his ministry in there. And, you know, the Bible tells us we need to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's exactly what our Lord did when he stood up and took the parchments there. And he began to read out of Isaiah. And it said in that particular verse is out of Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That's exactly, God was upon him. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, we can read how he moved him through the temptation that he just read. And then from there, he led him to Galilee. And now he's in Nazareth, and he was in the synagogue, and it was on the Lord's day. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set all at liberty of them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he stopped right there. That's not the entire verse 2 in Isaiah 1. Because he was rightly dividing the word of truth here, because the rest of it talks about judgment. That's his second coming, when he comes again and sets his foot up upon the mountain. He comes back again. He will come to judge this world. And so he rightly divided the word of truth. So that's what we read last week. And then he closed the book and gave it to the minister there. And he said, told them in verse 21, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So they heard it. The Bible, how many times does the Lord tell people, "He that hath an ear, let him hear"? It's important that we hear the word of God. That's the way it gets into our heart. We hear it as we read. There's one thing that I do every day, and my wife kind of, she's okay with it, but I read my Bible out loud. I'm in there in the morning at the breakfast table where I sit and do my Bible study in the morning. I read it out loud. She hears it. I hear it. I hear the word of God. It's very important that we hear the word of God. "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And as the Lord here tells them, "This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears." You heard it. He's coming and telling, he says, "I'm telling you, I am the Messiah. I have come to deliver you. I have come to help you. I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor." And it's very important that he preached to the poor, because the poor were the left out people. They were the ones that were just left behind. They were poor, and they just had to make it any way they possibly could. Sometimes it's like today, I've been there. But anyway, you kind of have to make it. But he said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted. Man, we live among a lot of people that are living today that have broken hearts. Things happen in life. That's the way things that God has put in our lives to give us guidance and direction. And we have a broken heart, and he came to help us. And I think that that's very important to realize when we're down and we're down. We're going to be looking a little bit here when we get to Capernaum. We need to turn to the Lord. That needs to be our first thought in our minds. When things aren't going the way it should be, Satan's coming to us and tempting us with something we haven't been tempted for in a long time. All of a sudden, he's tempting us. We need to look to God. We need to look to him and look into his word. That's why it's important that the Bible has told us, and a very important thing we need to do. I try to do it more and more, and that is to hide the word of God in my heart. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms to hide the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against him. And a lot of times when Satan comes, we've already looked at the temptations of the Lord. Every time the Satan came to the Lord to tempt him with something, he had the scriptures to fight him off with. We have the same scriptures. We have the word of God that we can hide in our hearts that we might not sin against God. And so, said here, he wants to help the brokenhearted. And that's the way he does. He's going to give us his words. And we're going to be looking a little bit more of this in just a little bit. And he set the captive free. You know, a lot of times we get captive of things. Sometimes we can just, people today are getting captive in their minds. Some people are just tied to that phone. Oh, there's a phone. tied to the phone. You got to find out what's going on. We've got to keep up with what's going on all the time. People, matter of fact, there's been a big lawsuit just this last week that somebody had sued one of the companies. I should have remembered it all, but I didn't. But they sued them because they had brainwashed them, according to the to what they did. And a lot of the stuff we need to realize, we make our own decisions. We make the decisions that we do. That's why we need to have God's word to give us guidance and direction. So many times today, I've talked to different people and different kids, especially, just last week I had my grandchildren with me. The three boys, and I talked to them about things. Why do they make the decisions they make? Why do they do the different things? And tried to help them understand. Look to God's word. Look to God's word. He gives us guidance and direction. They're going to a great Christian school. I mean, it's a good Christian school there in the Chicago area. As a matter of fact, they're one of the outstanding schools there. And they have opportunities, but they need to understand it's important that they line up all those things in our lives with the Word of God. Let God give us the guidance and direction we need. And I believe that it says here he delivered the captive. We can get captivated. Satan wants to get a hold of our minds. That's why in the book of Romans it tells us Romans 12, 1 and 2. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That means conform means to be made in the same mold. A conform, like you lay concrete or a concrete wall or something, you conform it. You put them form that they pour it in, and you're conformed. That's what he's saying. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How are you going to be? I'm glad God's word tells us how you can be transformed. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've got the God, our mind needs to be renewed with God's word. And so I believe that's what the Lord is telling the people there. He wants them to renew their minds. He wants them to be not be captives, but then he goes on and says and give them their sight, before I accepted Christ as my Savior, I looked at things differently. But then when I got the end of the book, I began to see some changes. I seen some things that God chose. He opened my blind eyes that I might be able to see the truth. And that's what the matter of fact, the Bible tells us. Jesus is in John's Gospel, chapter 14, said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He opens us to the truth of his word. And it's so important that we realize that. And he talks about setting us at liberty, those that are bruised. And he says to preach the acceptable year of God, of the Lord. And so that was what he was doing. Then, of course, he gave illustrations of that when he used Elijah, the woman, or Elijah, no, Elijah, the woman that he took care of during the famine. She was a woman that had been there. Then also he talked about the leopards being healed. There are a lot of leopards. There was a lot of leprosy in those days, but only Naaman, the Syrian, was healed. And so he talks about that, and that people were not recognizing him as Messiah. They were questioning who he was and different things. And matter of fact, at the end of the, his time there in Nazareth, they were wanting to take him out and thrust him off the side of the mountain there and to kill him. And of course, the Bible tells us it's not his time. But he passed, in verse 30 says, and he passed through in the midst of them and went his way. And he went his way. And then we find the next portion of scripture here. He came down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee. And taught them on the Sabbath day. So he just left. He went down to Capernaum, and here this might have, I'm sure, about a week later or so, because he's teaching him on the Sabbath day here again. And he says, simply says here in verse 32, it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words was with power. I read that and I thought of Brother Davison when he was here. He said Brother Harding had said that he was a preacher. He was not a teacher. Well, I kind of differ with Brother Hardy a little bit. But Brother Davison, he said he only knows one way to do it, you know, to teach and to preach. I always had a hard time with that myself, telling the difference between teaching and preaching. Listen to Sam Davison preach, you learn a lot. I mean, I got pages of notes here that he said and different things like that as he was preaching. He told me a lot of things I didn't know. And so I think if you find something you don't know, then you're learning. So you're being taught. So at the same time, these people this day, three words in this portion of scripture, that one verse of scripture here, it says they were astonished. As we would say, they were dumbfounded. You know, that all of a sudden he said things that they just, their jaws dropped. What is he saying? He's talking about, another word for astonished is amazed, found with, actually there was a found with fear, and wondered at admiration struck them dumb, basically. They were here at this junction where they heard the Lord, and the things he was saying was amazing. And not only did it say that, it talked about that verse of scripture, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Right there, he's talking about the doctrines, the things, the truth, the principles of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. It's important that people understand and know the truth of the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 said, and he was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine of the gospel. He came to this earth to go to the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood and die. This time of the year, we're getting ready next week to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It's a great time of the year to get into your Bible and see what happened that last week during the time of before his crucifixion. He taught so many things in the Gospel of John. I think there's 5 or 6 chapters there that are all his teachings that he did in this last week before he went to the cross of Calvary. A lot of teaching during that time, and of course they went to the upper room, and they had the feast of the Lord's Supper or Sabbath of the Passover, and all those things that happened there. Many of the doctrines that he taught, and they said here that these people here at Capernaum realized they were astonished at his doctrine. He was giving them something they hadn't heard before. Messiah, he's talking about himself being the Lamb of God that John the Baptist mentions. Said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And now that he explained to them what John was going to be talking about, they understood the sacrifice of the lamb that had to be offered for their sins. That was a sin sacrifice. And the Lord was telling them and astonishing them with this doctrine that he's giving them, teaching them the truth. The truth, as I said, John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse, or chapter 14, verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That, I believe, exactly is what he was teaching them in the synagogue that day here. And they were astonished because he took the things from the Old Testament. I can imagine he went to Isaiah 51 and he began to explain to them who that was that was being pictured there in Isaiah 51. Let me get there and we'll look at that real quick. If I can get there quick. Except it's not 51, it's 53. Every once in a while I do that. My mind does things like that. It says here, it talks about the Lord here. He says, talking about the Messiah that's coming, and he says in verse 3 of 53, he says, he is despised and rejected of men, this man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces. Don't turn 2 pages at once. Our faces from him. He was despised and it's esteemed. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and his chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. And verse 10, this a great verse, he says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so I believe that he was there in the synagogue, just like he did in the at Nazareth. He got the scriptures out, and he began to proclaim to him and show him, show the people there who he was and what was going to happen, telling them, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And now he takes them to Isaiah 53, and he shows them that he is the Messiah. And these are the things that are going to happen. I can imagine these Jewish people, as they sat there, they were astonished. He put the scriptures together so well, and that they were astonished. And so he used the doctrines of the scripture. And I believe it's important that we use the word of God, to show how the Lord can change their lives. And not only that, but I believe he was here. They astonished the people with his doctrines. He was teaching them. He was teaching. He was doing the teaching part. But then the last part of that verse says, "For his words was with power." I believe there he was talking about preaching. It turned from teaching to preaching. And that's exactly what I seen Brother Davidson do when he was up here. He was teaching us, and then boom, the power came, the power of the Word of God. And I believe that that's important as we look in the scriptures and we see these things. And we're talking about astonished. That brings fear. You know what the opposite of power is? Weakness. I experience it every day. Since I've lost weight and everything and different things, I find I'm weak. I'm weak. I get up and I try to do my exercise, do my grandpa exercise, do the push-up against the counter, whatever. I try to get stronger, but sometimes I find I'm weak. I'm weak. And the Apostle Paul, when he was on this earth, he found himself weak. He had a infirmity of the flesh. And I don't know, I believe it was an eye ailment that he couldn't really see real well and different things like that, but it was a problem. He prayed to the Lord three times for him to take it away, and he wouldn't do it. He says, in your weakness, you're made strong. And so Paul accepted that. Sometimes in our weakness, we need to be made strong. And when I get weak, when I get to a point where I'm just not able to do anything, you know what I do? I go to the scriptures. I read my Bible. And it gives me the strength. There's times in my life after I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I had some temptations that were hard. When I was in the Marine Corps, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not a well person. I was a very angry person. And I spent a lot of my time in places where I shouldn't have been. And it was very difficult. But when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. How did I know that? The scriptures. I got into the scriptures and found out that God could change my life. And he did. And so so I believe as he was talking there, he was doing it, preaching to them, teaching them the doctrines, teaching them about who he was and that he came here for a purpose. He was going to bear our sins. He's going to bear our grief. He was going to go to the cross of Calvary. He's going to shed his blood and die there and to give us eternal life, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He was teaching them they could turn from this wicked way. That's exactly what John the Baptist was doing when he was baptizing, telling them they needed to turn from their sin and turn to God, to turn to God. And so the same thing, I believe, that Jesus, as he was here in Capernaum, he began to teach them and talk to them about the power of God to change their lives. The reason why I know that's probably what he was talking about, because of the next verse, And it says, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, crying out with a loud voice. All of a sudden, I mean, he's preaching, I believe, with power, telling how God can change people's lives and different things like that. And all of a sudden, this devil begins to speak out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? He knew exactly who. Art thou thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. He knew who he was. Satan was right there in the synagogue that day. You know, Satan, the devil, is with us right here in church today, and we need to realize that. And so these people, they all also heard the word of God. They heard his doctrines, and it was astonishing to them. And matter of fact, this devil couldn't take it no longer. He couldn't take it in any longer. It's just about like the demons that the Lord cast out there at Gennesaret when he went over and met the guy in the tombs. You know, the rude dude in the tomb the preacher talked about. Just like that, that devil knew who he was. We need to realize the devil, he knows who Jesus is, and he's going to do everything he can to fight against him. And it says in Jesus, verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And so the devil left. And Satan, the Lord had the power over the devil. Here they were in the synagogue. They seen this happen. They seen the power of God, that the devil fled from him. He got out of there. He got away from the man and left him there. And it says in verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirit, and they came out. It wasn't just one spirit, there's many. They came out. And then it says in verse 37, the fame of him went out into every place of the country around about. People, when they seen it and they heard his words and the power that he had, and saw what could happen when God changes, when Lord came into man's life here and changed his life, they saw the power of it, and they went out and told everybody. They went out and told people. That's one reason why I believe it's important that we go out and tell what happened to you, what happened to me. Well, I know one day when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, my life was changed. Old things did pass away. I remember coming home and friends of mine, they go, let's go down to the bar over here. Let's do this and that. No more, guys. I don't do that. That was hard. That wasn't an easy thing to do because my flesh was saying, why not? Why not? Just that. It won't hurt. Hello, Satan, he was right there. But I had to say, no, I can't do it. I told you one time when I had been working out with my dad, and it was so hot in the summer, and I knew where he put his beer and everything. If I could just have one, you know, I was just thinking, take care of my thirst here. But I said, I knew it was the wrong thing to do. And I said, Lord, you told me that there is a way to fight through temptation. I'm turning to you. Open the door that I might not be able to fall into this temptation, because I was a hand away from it. And my mom walked in. As soon as she did, I said, thank you, Lord. He gave me a way out. He always tells us that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Very common to each and every one of us, common to man. It's common to man that I forgot the scriptures. I began to quote it. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. That's it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Remember that. He's not going to tempt you above that you're able. So if you got temptation coming your way, guess what? You're able to overcome it. And he's not going to give you anything more than you're able to handle. And with the temptation, make a way to escape. Look for the escape routes. Look for the escape routes. That's exactly what the devil did there. He said, Lord, and he looked for the escape route, and he let him out. And he took it and got away from the Lord there. So what we need to do is take it and escape from Satan's power. And so when that happens, what does it do? It amazes people. It amazed them. They saw that the power of his word and the authority that he had, and the unclean spirits even obeyed him. You know, that's what I felt that day. All of a sudden, that unclean spirit is trying to tempt me to do something that I don't want to do. He went away. Why? Because the Son of God. Not me. It wasn't my power. I guarantee you that. It was Christ in me, which is a hope of glory. And so that's what we need to realize. That. And here this day, the fame went out. And so we need to tell people about what's happened in our lives so that others can change their lives, change and do the things that God would want them to do. And then next portion of Scripture, the Lord visits Peter's house. Peter's house. The next verse, it says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. This is a great story. I think when you think about it here, I know when I first read through, it was one of the first awakenings to me that Peter had a wife. I didn't realize that the Pope, the first Pope, I mean, I have to remember I was Catholic, he had a wife, so he was disqualified from being a Pope. But anyway, that's the here or there. He went to Simon Peter's house here, and his mother was taken sick with a fever, her mother-in-law, the Bible says they're taken with a great fever. I mean, she wasn't a little bit sick, she was really sick. I mean, it was a great fever. Luke especially, you have to remember, he's a physician. When he uses little words like great, it's important. I mean, he is a physician. He knew that this woman was probably at the point of death. She had so much fever that didn't look possible for her to even live, but a great fever. And they besought him for her. And this is an interesting thing here, too. Did Peter's mother-in-law ask for help? No, they sought him. That's so important why we need to pray for people. Pray for people. I think of Brad. He's doing pretty good this week. I mean, last week he was in a hospital, but you know what? He got in the hospital and they started taking some medicines away, and he feels a lot better today. But God, I believe that's because of an answer to prayer. People prayed for him, have been praying for him, that God will help him to overcome this. He was at the point of being on hospice, and now he's not on hospice. It's a blessing. I believe that's because God works. Just like this, she had a great fever. It said, and they besought him for her. And so intercessory prayer is very important. Now, that's another subject. We'll start there, stop there, and next week we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful we serve a great God that loves us and cares for us. Father, I pray that you just give us guidance and direction in the service to come. Be with the pastor as he brings the word. Lord, I just pray that you hide him behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, that as he preaches, your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you please and prosper in the things where you send it. Father, we just ask that you'd have your will and way now in the services to come. Lord, we just give you the honor and the glory and the praise, looking for the blessings that you're going to give us. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your kindness, the blessings you give us every day. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, you're dismissed.